Randy, I'm glad you sang that this morning, because I want us to think together about memorials today. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. And you might think this is a strange passage for Memorial Day, but I pray that it's one of those ones that you'll understand better by and by. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And I want us to think this morning about a memorial memorable to God. You know, we think about Memorial Day. I remember when Linda and I were growing up, little town that we lived in, that was back when they called it Decoration Day. And in the little town, 5,000 people, there was always a big parade. And the parade would go all the way through town and out across the bridge and finally make it to the cemetery. And there would be a little service in the cemetery and all the graves would be decorated. And, you know, I thought about that and thought about Memorial Day, and I thought about some of the memorials in this country, and that's why I said, Randy, I'm thankful you sang that song about the wall. The Vietnam Wall is a memorial that you find in Washington, D.C., and there's a traveling one that goes around, and in fact, of all places, when Carol and I were in Kenai, Alaska, the portable wall that travels around was in Kenai. I thought about a trip that Carol and I made to the sunken battleship Arizona in the harbor at Honolulu. And I remember all the lays that were laid. And I'll never forget the quiet as we stood in that memorial. Carol and I have been to Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where one of the planes crashed on 9/11. You can visit Ground Zero now at the World Trade Center. And sometimes we don't think of the many memorials. We've been to the Alamo, and it commemorates those who gave their lives to make Texas free. I think of all the battleships and all the carriers. I think of the forts that we've been to. But in all of that, what about God? And you see, in the Old Testament, there are a number of places where God tells someone to make a memorial that the people might not forget. When Joshua led the people into the Promised Land, and you'll remember as the priest stepped out into the Jordan River, the waters piled up all the way, the water backed up, they crossed on dry land. And then God told Joshua to take one man from each of the 12 tribes, and out where the men had stood with the Ark of the Covenant, that they would go into the river and take each one a large stone from the riverbed, that they might make a memorial, that they might never forget what God had done on that day. I think about in Exodus chapter 12 when the Passover meal is literally made a memorial at the word of God. But the passage we're going to read today is one in which Jesus plainly sets apart one act to be remembered as a memorial to the woman who performed it. Let's read together in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And while he, Jesus, while he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Well, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your word might burn a spot on each of our hearts. Spot that will never go away. Speak to our hearts for Jesus' sake. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I learned the passage that we just read in the King James Version. I'm one of those old guys that cut my teeth on the King James. Most of what I've memorized all of my life comes out of my mouth in King Jamesese. And the King James Version in this passage says that this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. What is it then that makes a memorial that's memorable to God? First of all, in the case of this passage, memorable love is seen as extravagant. Don't you get a kick out of the people that started to give the woman a lot of grief over what she had done? Why do you suppose they did that? Well, in John's gospel, John says that for Judas's part, he had a lot to say because he was a thief. And if that money didn't go in the purse, he wouldn't have a chance to steal it. That's my version of what John said. Also, the others were worried about how much it cost. You know, we live in a time and in a world where people know the cost of everything and don't know the value of a single thing. And they looked at the cost of this woman's gift, and they said, "That's extravagant. Why, that's a whole year's wages, 300 denarii. A regular working man made a denarii a day. 300 days worth of earnings gone just like that. Poured out in one fell swoop. A whole year's wages gone." And yet what she had done was precious to the Lord Jesus. You see, love that is memorable is never calculated. You know, we live in a time when Everything is calculated. And sad to say, normally it's calculated this way. Well, what's the least I can give and still be respectable? God help us. What's the least I can give and still be respectable? What's the least I can get by with and it still be respectable to God? And you say, well, preacher, come on now. You're beating us up about the money. No, I'm not. I'm beating you up about the way we live, and it's me too. It's me too. Let's see, how many Sundays can I miss a year and it still be acceptable to God? I remember when I went to college and I learned about cuts. Do you know what cuts are? Excused absence. Well, at times you can cut the class, but there's only a limited number of them you can take, and if you overcut a class, you fail it. So, how many times can I cut church this year and get away with it in the sight of God? You see, love doesn't calculate. Love is always extravagant. Memorable love is extravagant. Secondly, though, memorable love is sacrificially given. Sacrificially given. You know, there's an economy of love, but there's also an economy of common sense. You know, sometimes we do things that just don't make sense. And do you know that's the things that always turn out to be the most blessed? Those things that don't make a bit of sense. How can you give that? That's all you've got. How can you do that? I remember a time in Ohio when at state convention we were introduced to a young man who had come to this country from Japan to start a Japanese church. He had been here working for 18 months and had not seen his family. His wife and two children were still in Japan. He couldn't afford to bring them. Now, the convention in Ohio is a little bit different than we see it in a lot of states. A lot of our older states are just kind of stick-in-the-mud, ho-hum business. And it wasn't that way in Ohio, and it was very unique the way things were done. After the young man had given his sermon, as he started to go to his seat to sit down, somebody stood up in the back of that auditorium and said, I move that we take a collection right now and get his family here with him. And somebody else stood up on the other side and said, I second that. And the only thing they could find to take the offering in was a bunch of fried chicken boxes. And they passed them. And I don't remember the figure in money, but I know this. They couldn't give us a total figure, because there were three diamond rings in there that had to be appraised. All I know is this. The next year at convention, the young man walked out on the platform with a sweet, sweet wife and two little children. And I want you to know that was sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving honors God. Say, well, how's that honor God? If I give away all I've got, that means I trust God for what I need. The only person whose giving that Jesus ever applauded was the widow who gave her two mites. And he said, she's given more than everybody with all their bankrolls, because she gave her entire living. And memorable love is always sacrificially given. And the people will always say, oh, what a waste. What a waste. I remember David, and David's one of my favorite characters. David had his ups and downs, but David loved God. And David, as he came to the end of his life, wanted to make an offering. And there was a Jebusite named Araunah. This is in 2 Samuel 24. And as he was passing through Araunah's land, he felt that he wanted to make a sacrifice to God. And when Araunah saw him and asked the king what he wanted, David told him. And he said, oh, I'll give you my threshing floor for the altar. I'll give you the yokes and the plows for the wood, and I'll even give you the bullocks for the sacrifice. And David said this, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. He said, I'll pay for every bit of it. If I'm going to honor God, I'm going to pay for it. Memorable love is love that seizes the opportunity. Now, a lot of people, do you ever see people get into little theological arguments? Usually people get in theological arguments because they want to duck the truth that's plain on the page. And people want to talk about, well, you know, what did he mean by, you know, the poor you always have with you? Does that mean he didn't care about the poor? Don't be silly. What he was saying is that you have opportunity every day of your life to do something for folks in need. He said, but I won't be here in a couple of days. I won't be here. And the woman reached out and seized the opportunity to do something for Jesus. You know, we need to be alert. We need to be watchful for those opportunities that come our way in which we can do honor and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't come every day. Amen. We need to be compulsive in the way that we love God. It needs to be a compulsion within us. The Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. I can't help it. He says, the love of Christ works in me and I can't help it. Oh, if more Christians couldn't help it and just did good. Praise God, what a difference that would make. What a difference. You see, it requires a focus outside of ourselves, not to miss the opportunities where we can reach out and grab them, and in so doing, honor God. I want to share one last thought with you. Memorable love holds nothing back. Now, Luke's account and Matthew's account, John, none of the other accounts of this tell us that the woman broke the jar, the vial, the alabaster box. And you say, well, what's significant about that? Well, I got to tell you a story about Carol, and you'll understand. At our house, There's something I hate, just, oh, mercy. And I just have to contain myself when it happens. When we have a bag of potato chips, I don't like Carol to open them. And do you know why? Now, you have to understand how it is our house. If I open a potato chip, I'm very careful. and I open them, just, I open it with a thought in mind of closing it. Do you know how Carol opened it? Potato chips! And see, the trouble with that is, what do you do? Well, we gotta eat them all. Gotta eat them all. Ain't got nothing left to put them back in. Now, here's a woman. And she comes up to Jesus. And she has a year's worth of precious ointment in a jar. She didn't take the lid off and put a couple drops on. She broke that jar, poured it all on. Woo! Glory. Can you ever think of what God thought when that happened? Do you wonder that this was a memorial that was memorable to God? Just poured it all out. Can you imagine what would happen in this church if everybody this morning made a commitment to just pour out their whole life in service to God? I mean, pour out the bank account. I mean, pour out. Hello? I didn't get one single amen. Pour it all out. You know, if the Lord came tomorrow, I'd be ashamed for what I have in savings. That's right. That's right. She, and the passage says it simply. It said she has done what she could. She has done what she could. I wonder how many of us have a testimony that we have done what we could. You see, the sad thing is most of us have done what we would, but we've not done what we could. You see, everyone can do something. I had a dear friend in the church that I pastored for 18 years. His name was Charles Blackwell. Charles had a massive stroke. Begged God for his life. God spared him, but he was never the same. And he couldn't walk right, and he surely couldn't talk right. I understood him, but not many other folks did. But Charles was the most faithful person in that entire church. And I remember when we went on a mission trip, Charles wanted to go. And families went. We went to Pennsylvania to help start a new church. And our men were doing construction, and our ladies were doing backyard Bible clubs. Our youth were doing puppet teams. And there was just one thing that Charles could do. Every time you went to that construction site, it was the cleanest site I've ever seen, because Charles had a broom. And Charles, if you went there first thing in the morning, he was sweeping. And if you went there at noon, he was sweeping. And if you went there right before we went home, Charles was sweeping. Charles couldn't pound nails anymore. A lot of things Charles couldn't do, but Charles could sweep. And Charles did sweep. I just have a sneaking suspicion that one day we'll stand before God and he's going to say, what could you have done? Why didn't you do it? You see, there's an obvious question here. And the question is this: what have you done that would be a memorial, memorable to God? Let's pray. Oh God, you've proven yourself time and again to be loving and gracious and merciful. and caring and steadfast and faithful. And Father, as we think of all that you are, God, help us to be all that we can be for your sake. Oh God, I pray that not one of us might stand in your presence on that day and be ashamed, but rather we might stand there and it be said, they did what they could, that you might have honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly, prayerfully, heads bowed, eyes closed. Sometimes the Word of God makes me ashamed. Sometimes the Word of God thrills my heart to the point that I'm not sure I'll live out the day. But I've never had a time when the Word of God did not speak to me. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, then you'll respond to Him one way or another. I pray that if He's laid a burden on your heart, you'll come to Jesus. I pray that if He's laid it on your heart that you need a fresh start in serving Him, that you'll come to Jesus. I pray that if God's laid it on your heart that you need to be a part of a loving church family that serves God wholeheartedly, that you'll come to Jesus. Whatever God lays on your heart, I pray that you'll do. Will you come to Jesus? Praise Him, we'll sing, and that makes it easy. Just step out and come.